Wow, wasn't that cool? I mean, all these little kids, they knew their mom so well that they could identify her blindfolded. And you know what? God wants us to know him that well. He really does. He doesn't want us to just know him on just kind of a surface, superficial level. He wants us to really, really know him. And for us to know him, I mean, some of us, we need to stretch our understanding of who he is, because some of us, we just have kind of a partial view, a limited view. We kind of have a caricature of who God is, and so we need our minds, our thinking, our understanding stretched so we can understand who God is and what he can and what he wants to do in each of our lives. You know, as I've thought about some of the patterns in my life, one of the things that happens for me is a lot of times when I get up in the morning, from the time I like roll out of bed, there are times where I'm ready to go. I mean, I'm ready to take on the world. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that I wake up chipper or bouncing off the walls, or, you know, I just kind of hop out of bed and I'm ready to go. That's not it at all. In fact, for the first, you know, 30 minutes to an hour, I don't talk to anybody typically. I'm not the best company in the world. And yet, in spite of that, in spite of the fact it takes my system a little bit to get going, from the time I get up, there are mornings, there are days where I am ready to go. I'm motivated, I'm excited, I'm energized, I'm ready to take on whatever the challenges that might get thrown at me that day. But then there are other days, it's not like that at all. I mean, from the time I kind of make it out of the bed, I'm dragging, I'm like deflated, I'm lethargic. It's like I'm just kind of stuck in the blahs. Have you ever been there? And I don't even necessarily know why. I mean, it's not like things are necessarily going bad. I mean, they're not necessarily great, but they're just kind of there. But I get the sense, I feel that I'm just stuck. And I think a lot of us feel stuck at times. Not just when we get up in the mornings out of bed, but we feel stuck in life sometimes. I mean, life is just kind of a grind. We're just going through the motions. We're depleted. I mean, we just feel kind of stuck. We feel like things are out of whack in our life. That they're out of kilter somehow in our life. And maybe you're here today and you're a mother. And you love your kids, you love your family, things are going well for you, love your spouse. I mean, things may not be perfect for you, but your life is going well. And yet, in spite of that, even on Mother's Day, you feel kind of stuck. And a lot of times when we feel that way, when we feel stuck, we just assume this because, you know, we've got a lot going on in our life. We're facing some big challenges. Maybe we're facing some relational challenges that are hanging over our head. Maybe it's in our marriage. Maybe it's with our kids. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's some other relationship that we have. Maybe it's not that. Maybe it's a job. Some issues there, maybe some deadlines that we got, or maybe it's a financial issue. But because of these pressures that are hanging over our head, we assume that that's why we're feeling kind of stuck. And yet there are other times where that's clearly not it at all, because as we look and we observe our life, everything's really going well. Everything's going really good. I mean, our relationships are going great. Our job is good. If we're in school, that's going well. I mean, things are going well in our life, and yet we're stuck. Something is causing us to feel stuck. And when we feel that way, a lot of times we need to think, well, I just need some kind of change in my life. I need a new challenge. I need, you know, I don't know, I need a new job or something. Something needs to change. Or maybe we get to thinking, you know, if I could just have a break, you know, that would do it. Maybe. Maybe. But chances are it's deeper than that. chances are that even if you could somehow change all the external circumstances and you could relieve yourself of you know, half of the different responsibilities that you are, and even though that might provide some temporary relief and energy for you, chances are that after a while, you would still end up back experiencing those feelings of just being kind of stuck. Because it's something deeper. Chances are it's something deeper, something internal. Now, the truth is only God can help you with. Some of you showed up today realizing that you needed something more. Maybe you're here today and you don't even know, you know, what you think about God and Jesus and those things. Maybe you're back in church after drifting away from God years back. Maybe you're just here because it's Mother's Day, and so you're here accompanying your mother to celebrate and honor someone, and you're not even necessarily expecting to get much out of this day. And I would just encourage you, while you're here, you might as well try to get something out of it. But some of you showed up today, maybe not consciously thinking this, but internally there was something that caused you to wonder, I wonder if maybe God could help me get unstuck. If there is a God, I wonder if he could help me. And you may not have worded it that way, but there's been this longing for something more. And today, this is a great day to be here, because what we're going to talk about is what God longs. We're going to paint a picture of what God longs for you to experience in your life. So if you have your Bible, I'd love for you to open it up to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going back in this series called Stretch that we've been in for several weeks. And in this first chapter, we've been looking at this prayer that Paul prays for the Christians in the city by the name of Ephesus. And in this section of the prayer that we're going to look at today, Paul prays for these people. He prays that the eyes of their heart might be enlightened in order that they might know God better, that they might know the fullness of who he is and what he wants to do in their life. And this Mother's Day, whoever you are here today, whether you're a mother, you're a father, you're a son, a daughter, whatever stage of life you're in, that's my prayer for you, that the eyes of your heart would somehow today, that they would be enlightened like never before, and that you would get to know God better, that you would get to know the fullness of who he really is, and that you would come to understand more clearly what he can and what he wants to do in your life. So look at this. We're going to pick up in verse 15. We're going to throw it up here on the screen as well. The Apostle Paul prays this. It says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints," and we'll just kind of pause right there on that word saints. Talked about this a few weeks ago. A lot of us, when we see that word saints, depending on our background, we get to thinking of individuals who are like, you know, superhero Christians, you know, super pious, super religious, people who have lived almost perfect lives. And yet that's not what Scripture is talking about. When God in Scripture in the Bible talks about saints, he's talking about people who have, just ordinary people like you, like me, who have opened up their hearts, their lives to Jesus, and have placed their faith, their trust in Jesus. So he's talking about us. The word saint means a set apart people. We are set apart for God. It goes on in verse 16. It says, "I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him." So you may know God better. Now, what's interesting here is Paul could have prayed a lot of different things for these people. I mean, he could have prayed about their needs, their protection. He could have prayed that they would get nicer houses. He could have prayed that their kids would make this team or they'd get into this great university. He could have prayed that they would get a promotion, they'd get this new job, they'd get this raise. I mean, he could have prayed about a lot of things. He didn't pray about any of their circumstances. Not that we can't pray about our circumstances or the circumstances of other people, what's going on in their life. But Paul knew that there was something much more important than that. And so that's what he prayed for.
I mean, of all the things that he could have prayed for, what does he pray for? That they might know God better. That they might know God better. Isn't that interesting? I mean, he knew that the most critical, the most essential thing for their well-being, for them to feel whole and complete, was that they know God better. And I want to tell you, you may think that what you need is something else. You may think that the greatest need in your life is whatever it is that goes through your mind that you think it is. But what you need this Mother's Day, what you need in life more than anything else, and what I need more than anything else, is to know God better. To somehow know God better. It goes on in verse 18. He says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. He knew that to know God better, the eyes of our heart, if you will, needed to be enlightened. They needed to see and understand and internalize some things more fully, more deeply. They needed their hearts and their minds stretched. And then Paul goes on to express three specific areas where we need the eyes of our heart enlightened so we can know God better. God offers us three resources for us to move out of this stuck condition that a lot of us fall into from time to time. So as we move on, there are three things that we need to do in order to get to know God better and to get unstuck in our lives. Number one, we need to own the fullness of the hope we have. We need to own the fullness of the hope that we have through what Jesus has done in our lives, or what he makes available for us. In verse 18, he says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. It goes on, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. You might circle that word hope there on your outline if you're taking notes. And when he says in order that you may know, he's talking about more. This. He's talking about more than just knowing intellectually, more than just knowing cognitively in some sort of abstract way. He's talking about more than that. He's talking about internalizing and experiencing and owning these truths, these realities that we're going to look at. He wanted them and he wants us to understand and own our identity in Christ more fully. You see, a lot of times, we get stuck because we just don't see things clearly. So God wants us to own the fact that once we open up our hearts, our lives to him, once we place our faith in Christ, what he did on the cross, and we begin to follow him, we begin to follow his ways in our life, we have the hope of heaven. We have the hope of eternal life. No matter what we're going through right now, no matter what the pain is, no matter what the wounds we've experienced, no matter what the brokenness that we've been through in our lives, there will be a day when we get to experience heaven. We get to experience this life where there is no more pain, there is no more suffering, there is no more disappointment, there are no more regrets. There's none of that. We get to live this life one day. This is better than the best day in this life that we can ever imagine. But not only is there an eternal hope that we need to own, and that's huge, but this eternal hope blends into a daily hope in the here and now that we can experience. You see, in the midst of whatever hopelessness we may be experiencing, I mean, we may be wondering whether things will ever change. We may be wondering and fretting over whether anything will ever be different in our lives. We may feel like everything is falling apart, like we're just on a dead-end road in life. We may just feel just absolutely stuck in our lives. But God says there is hope. God says his hope is available. And we may be struggling in our marriage. There may be things in our life that aren't going our way at all. Or maybe on the other hand, the truth is everything is going our way. And we are just incredibly successful And yet we are incredibly empty at the same time. But regardless of our immediate circumstances, God wants us living with hope. There's more. Now, why is this hope? Why is this so important? Well, when we're at a really, really low point in life, and we're really hurting, and we feel like giving up, I mean, we just reached that point, we feel like throwing in the towel, it's helpful to remind ourselves of this ultimate hope that we have in Jesus. It's helpful to remind ourselves that even though we may not be able to control or change the circumstances around us, we may not be able to change the people around us or what they do or what they say, but with God's help, we need to remind ourselves that what we can do, because there is hope, is we can change ourselves. We can change our perspective. We can change our attitude, our outlook on life. And when we change that with God's help, has the potential to change everything. And there have been multiple times in my life where all that kept me going was the hope that God was in control. Even though I was confused and I didn't know what was going on and experienced heartache and pain and I just didn't understand what was happening in my life. What has kept me going at times, in the midst of bleak times, has been God is in control. Just reminding myself sometimes over and over, God is in control. God is in control. God is on his throne. And ultimately, everything is going to work out. Ultimately, everything is going to work out. Ultimately, everything is going to be more than fine. Behind the scenes, in ways I don't understand, I don't even see, God is working. And ultimately, one day, everything is going to be made right, ultimately, in heaven. And all I've got to do is make it through this one day. I've just got to make it through the next day. And God's mercies are new every day to help me through that. But I also remind myself that God is with me right now. That he's going to give me the guidance and the wisdom and the strength and the joy that I need in the midst of whatever the challenges are that I'm facing in day-to-day life. And sometimes it's just helpful to remind ourselves of that. You see, when we own the fullness of the hope that we have through Jesus, it gives us a different perspective. It's healing. It's re-energizing. It refreshes my attitude. It gives me the determination that I need to keep on going. Knowing our privileges, knowing that we have this privilege of this hope that God offers us, changes our perspective. And when our perspective changes, it has a potential to change our life. Second thing that we need to do, if we're going to get to know God better, and as a result, we're going to get unstuck in our life. Number two is we need to own the riches of our inheritance. We need to own the riches of our inheritance in Christ. In verse 18, it starts that first, I pray also the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know, skipping down the second part of that verse, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. You might circle that phrase, the riches of his glorious inheritance. Now, some see this as being God's, as us being God's in inheritance. But I think the context here and in Ephesians in general seems to indicate that this is referring to the inheritance that we have, that we get from God. You see, once we open up our heart to Jesus, we're giving an amazing inheritance as a totally free gift. We have this inheritance. I mean, not only do we have the assurance of eternal life, but God offers to forgive us of everything we've ever done wrong. All the blunders, all the foul-ups. He forgives us. He wipes the slate clean. And then he lavishes us with his amazing and breathtaking, extravagant love and grace. Part of the inheritance is that we get the very Spirit of God living within us. And with the Spirit of God come the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, self-control. I mean, all these things are a result of of this inheritance that we have. I mean, there are just so many elements, there's so many facets to the inheritance that we have. I mean, if you think about it, just to be called sons and daughters of God is pretty amazing. Sons and daughters of the King of Kings, of the Creator of the universe. I mean, if you really stop to think, I mean, that's mind-boggling. I want you to look at Ephesians 3. If you have your Bible, you can turn over a couple of chapters. This is another prayer that talks about the riches of this inheritance. Look at this, beginning in verse 16. It says, Paul's praying again. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, these are riches that are part of our inheritance, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints. And again, that's us, is God's people, not superhero Christians out there. So he wants us to have power. And then look at why he wants us to have this power. To grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Part of this inheritance is that we experience the power of Jesus to help us grasp, to help us take hold of and internalize and own, as it says here, how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that it says surpasses knowledge. He wants us to know this love. I mean, he says it surpasses knowledge. We can't fully understand it. But he wants us to know it better. You see, in spite of our mistakes, and in spite of the sin in our life, in spite of the things that we're ashamed of, we're embarrassed about, that we don't want anyone to know about, God still offers to forgive us. He still makes his love available to us. He loves us, and he wants to give us a new life. And we can't fully grasp the enormity of that kind of love, but God gives us his power to at least understand it better. I mean, think of it this way. Just imagine that you had some distant relative that died, and you got a notice that they had left you some money. And you know they had lived a modest life, so you're very confident that they didn't have much. And so you really didn't think much about it. It must be a few dollars, whatever. You just blew it off and went on with life. And a month goes by, and then all of a sudden, oh, let's just say that your clothes dryer goes out. And within 24 hours, the transmission on your car goes out. I mean, that's kind of how it happens, isn't it? I mean, when one thing goes out, all of a sudden it seems like two or three things go out. And all of a sudden, you're in a little bit of a financial panic. You're like, oh, man, how do I take care of this? How do I pay for it? And that triggers, that jogs your memory. And you remember, oh, you know, I got that notice that there was some money that this distant whoever had sent. So maybe there's enough for me to get me like a new clothes dryer, maybe even enough to fix the transmission of my car as well. And so you check it out, and you're blown away because they've left you a billion-dollar fortune. You were rich, but you had been living like you were poor. Now, if that were to happen, would you continue to live all uptight and bent out of shape and everything because of your clothes dryer going out and because of the transmission on your car going out? No. You've got billions. I mean, you got all this money. It's nothing to fork out a little bit of money to get those things fixed or to get a brand new car, to get you a new washer and dryer. I mean, it's no big deal. Some of us live our lives as Christians, unaware of the inheritance that we have. We live as Christians as though we're spiritually poor, when in reality, we are spiritual billionaires. We're spiritually rich. And as a result, we allow our circumstances, and we allow the things that people say and the things that people do to deflate us and to rob us of our inner joy. and of our inner peace. This last week, some of you may have had somebody criticize you. Some things didn't go the way that you had wanted them to go. Turned out totally different. Maybe somebody let you down. You took a financial hit. And those are real losses. Those are real frustrations. Those are real hurts. But what are we going to do as Christians? I mean, are we going to get all upset and shake our fist at God and allow it to make us miserable? Are we going to toss and turn all night because of these things that happened to us? If so, then I would submit that it's because we don't know how truly rich we are. We're not owning the riches, as it says here, the riches of our glorious inheritance, as it says in chapter 1, verse 18. We've lost touch with our true identity. As Christians, we are spiritual billionaires. But a lot of us are wringing our hands because the clothes dryer has gone out. Because of these puny, these little things that are happening in our life. We're spiritually rich in Christ. You see, regardless of what people around you say or what they don't say, what we need to live with is the realization that we are deeply loved by God. Some of us are spiritually rich, but we're living like we're poor. Maybe that's where you are today. Now, when our hearts are wounded and our hearts are scarred, almost always part of the problem, almost always, is that we don't feel loved. We don't feel valued or significant. So one of the best things that we can do is turn to God and allow Him to fill our love tank, if you will, with His love. You see, we all have, whether we acknowledge it or not, we all have this deep longing to be loved, to be accepted, to be valued. And yet some of us, in spite of that longing, that desire that we have, we've grown up with a massive deficit of love in our lives. And when we don't feel loved, what happens is our heart begins to shrivel up. But because of this longing, because of this hurt, we keep searching for love. Unfortunately, we search for it a lot of times in the wrong places, but we keep getting hurt as a result of that. Our heart keeps getting banged up and ripped apart. People keep walking all over our heart. But no one, this is what we need to understand, no one, not even the most loving spouse, will ever be able to fill this love tank that we have to the point that our heart is full and whole and satisfied. And some of us, we keep thinking that somebody's going to be able to do that, that our spouse, our husband, our wife, their girlfriend, a boyfriend, that they're going to be able to fill up our love tank. We keep thinking, if he would just do this, if she would just do that, I mean, if they would just change, if they would just do some things differently, then I would feel loved. No person can fill our love tank. No individual, no human being can fill our love tank to the point that we're going to feel whole and satisfied. And it's that lack of feeling loved that causes a lot of us to feel stuck, to feel like something is just out of whack in our life. And think about it. When you think about this love that we long for, where does that love, I mean, we keep thinking that somebody's going to provide us with that love. Where does love come from? God, the scriptures, God is love. He's the author. He's the originator. He's the source of love. So if we're going to get unstuck, we need to open up our hearts to Jesus and His love, and we need to allow Him to keep filling us up to overflowing with this lavish, unconditional, extravagant, amazing love. We need to allow Him to fill us up. One of the most healing things that you can do is own God's love for you. Immerse yourself in it. Absorb it. Take it in. Remind yourself over and over and over that you are deeply loved and treasured by God. You need to remind yourself, I am treasured. I am deeply treasured and loved by God. You need to own that. Internalize that. But I've got to be honest with you. For me, it's like God's love kind of leaks out. Okay, and I know that technically it doesn't. I mean, technically, God will never love me any more or any less than he does right now. He'll never love you any more or less than he does right now. And yet for me, part of what happens is my awareness of that love, my ownership of that love kind of seeps out sometimes. And so when I'm feeling fearful for some reason, when I'm struggling, when I'm hurting, what I realize I have to go back and do is I have to remind myself over and over and over how much God loves me. Because when I take hold, when I really get to know this privilege of this love, this inheritance that I have, it changes my perspective. And that can change the way we do life. And then the third thing that we need to do in our lives, if we're going to get to know God better and as a result get unstuck, number three is we need to own the power God makes available to us. Look at this. Again, verse 18, that statement, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know, and then skip on down to verse 19, his incomparably great power, you might circle, underline that statement, his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly realms. This power that God makes available, I mean, look at that. I mean, this is mind-boggling. This is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead that he makes available to us. Goes on in verse 21, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet, under Jesus' feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. God makes, what it's saying here, God makes his power available to us to help us understand. I mean, we just saw this, help us understand how wide, it said in chapter 3, verse 18, how wide and long and high and deep God's love for us really is. But he also makes this power available to us to give us the internal strength to face whatever the challenges are we're facing in our life. Face whatever the hurts are, disappointments, struggles, and losses, and heartaches. Gives us power to be able to face whatever that is so we can get unstuck. So God wants us to know this hope. God wants us to know this love that is a result of the inheritance that we have. God wants us to know this power. Now, there are two ways that we can get to know something. For example, there are two ways to get to know that honey is sweet. One would be to do research, to study it and investigate, and maybe do surveys and talk to other people. And as a result of that, you would eventually find out, honey is sweet. The other way to know that honey is sweet is to taste honey. And once you taste it, you're like, whoa, yeah, obviously, honey is sweet. But if all you've done is known as a result of study and research and talking to people, when all of a sudden then you taste it, you would probably say, you know what? I knew that honey was sweet, but I didn't really know. I knew, but I didn't really know. And some of us, we know that this hope is there for us. We know that there's an inheritance that God gives. We know that his love is available. We know this power is available. We know, but we don't really know. But we need to know. We need to own. We need to internalize. We need to experience these privileges that are ours. Because knowing our privileges changes our perspective. Knowing our privileges changes our perspective. Knowing the privileges we have, knowing this hope that is ours, knowing this inheritance that is ours, is this love that is included, this breathtaking love that's included in that is ours, knowing that this power is available to us. When we know these privileges, truly know them, it changes our perspective. That changes our attitude. That changes our outlook. And that has a potential to change our whole life. When we really know God and we know these privileges that are ours, we know about this hope, we really know this love, and we're internalizing it, we're owning that, and we're owning this hope and this love and this power. What that does in our life is it transforms us. And it gives us the internal drive and the determination to make the changes that we need to make in our life when we are stuck. Because when we are stuck, we need some changes. We can't just keep doing the same things we've always been doing and expect things to be different. I mean, that's the definition of insanity. Something has got to change in our lives. Now, let's get honest with ourselves. I mean, there are times, though, when we realize in our life that we need, and we're actually wanting this hope, and we're wanting to experience this love and this power in our life, but it seems elusive to us. We want it. We know that we need to tap into it, but we don't seem to be able to. We're not experiencing it internally, emotionally. We're not experiencing it in day-to-day life. What you need to understand is that this inheritance, these privileges that we have from God, if we have put our trust in Christ, if you have received Christ in your life, you've taken that step of faith, put your trust, your faith in Jesus, whether you're aware of the privileges that you have, whether you're aware of the inheritance that's yours or not, it's still yours. It's still yours. You're rich. You're a spiritual billionaire, whether you realize it or not. But how do we experience it? I mean, if we're not experiencing it and we're stuck in our life, we need to do something different. What do we do differently in our life so we can own, so we can actually experience this in our life? We need to identify what the lies, the messages are in our life that have amplified our sense of hopelessness. We need to identify what are those lies that have amplified our sense of powerlessness. Our sense that nobody cares about us. Our sense that nobody loves us, not even God. For a lot of us, there are messages or labels that somebody slapped on us. We talked about this a while back. They're defining. They're driving our lives. But they're lies, and we've made them bigger. We've amplified them. You're dumb. You're stupid. Nobody cares about you. You'll never amount to anything. You never get anything right. Why can't you do that right? Nobody loves you. You can't change. This is just who you are. We've got to identify those lies. And then we've got to choose. We've got to make the choice to do something different. We've got to choose to replace those lies with God's truths. And we've got to saturate ourselves with those truths. And we've got to remind ourselves over and over and over, I do have hope. I am loved. I am not powerless. I do have hope. I am loved, deeply loved by God. And I am not powerless. See yourself differently. Allow your internal perspective and attitude to change your external perspective and attitude. So you begin to do life different. And you begin to relate to people different. Smile. See the best in others. Affirm. Encourage. Extend grace to people. do what you can do. You can't affect everything. You can't control everything. But what you can affect with God's help in your life is your perspective and your attitude. What you can affect is owning the hope that is yours, owning this inheritance, this love that is yours, owning the power that is available to you. And when you change your perspective and your attitude, it changes the way you do life. We're going to finish up. We're going to pray in just a second. When you get up tomorrow, you don't have to get up stuck. Just going through the motions, surviving. Your tomorrow can be different. Now, the truth is, I'm just going to be honest, the truth is most likely your circumstance, the problems, the challenges that you're facing right now, they're probably not going to change. But when your perspective and your outlook, your attitude changes, because you're owning the privileges that are yours, all of a sudden, you are re-energized and you're motivated and you begin to experience life with a greater awareness and a greater sense of inner joy and inner peace and significance. And you're going to live with a greater awareness of the magnitude of the love that God has for you. You realize, I don't have to live stuck anymore. And that will have a ripple effect in your relationships, and that will have a ripple effect into every area of your life. Knowing your privileges changes your perspective. And in turn, that changes how we do life. You bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privileges that you've made available to us. God, thank you for this hope we have in Christ. Thank you for this inheritance that includes this breathtaking, astounding love that you have for us. Thank you for the power that you make available to us. Lord, my prayer is that we would not live our lives stuck, but that we would take hold of the riches that are ours in Christ. If you're here today on this Mother's Day and you've never opened up your life to Christ, this could be the day that you go from being spiritually poor, from spiritual poverty to spiritual riches. Right where you are, whatever stage of life, you're a mother, son, a daughter, whoever, if in your heart you say, God, I don't want to live stuck anymore, and I want to have a relationship with you. I want to experience these privileges that you have for me. So today I'm placing my faith, my trust in Jesus, what he did by dying on the cross for my wrongdoing, for my sin. And whether you just prayed that or you pray that sometime back in your life, you say, God, I want you to replace this sense of hopelessness that seeps into my life with your hope. God, I want to enjoy this inheritance, this breathtaking love that comes with it. I want to enjoy that day in and day out. God, I want to leverage the power you make available. I don't want to live stuck. I change my perspective and my attitude, change my life. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to take out that white connection card, wherever you've placed it. It may still be in your